Welcome to day 64 of our 180-day journey through the Westminster Standards. Yesterday, we finished looking at chapter 19 of the Confession of Faith, which is entitled Of the Law of God, but we haven't by any means stopped looking at the law of God itself. In fact, we're just getting started, and it's pretty much going to take up the rest of our time. All the other chapters of the Confession, except perhaps the last two or three, integrate into the law as it's discussed in the larger catechism. So we'll basically be following the larger catechism and integrating everything into that. And it takes up pretty much the rest of our 180-day study. So let's get started with question 99. From the Westminster Larger Catechism, what rules are to be observed for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments? Answer, for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments, these rules are to be observed. And there are eight rules, and we'll look at each one as much as we have time for today. And one thing that you'll notice, although the question is what rules are to be observed for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments, most of the proof texts in the next eight rules aren't from the Ten Commandments. So it's not like they're looking at one of the Ten Commandments and describing the rule that you need to understand to interpret that particular one of the Ten Commandments. They're talking about all of the law. And in a way, they're actually talking about all of the Bible. And that's partially because every word that comes from God, who is our sovereign, who is our Lord, who is our creator, every word that comes from such a superior authority is law. The old phrase, if the king says jump, I say how high. Sometimes if the king says things that aren't even stated as thou shalt or thou shalt not, in order to honor the king, you have to treat them as a command and respond to them appropriately. We saw that in the chapter on saving faith, where it says that by this faith, we respond in the appropriate way to everything in the Word of God. So this is not limited to just the Ten Commandments. This is talking about all of God's commandments, and this is talking about really the whole of the Bible. The first rule is that the law is perfect and bindeth everyone to full conformity in the whole man unto the righteousness thereof, and unto entire obedience forever, so as to require the utmost perfection of every duty, and to forbid the least degree of every sin. The proof texts are Psalm 19:7, for the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Matthew 5:21-22, you've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Rule number two, that it is spiritual. The law is spiritual, and so reacheth the understanding, will, affections, and all other powers of the soul, as well as words, works, and gestures. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Compared with Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 5:21-22, which we just read in the rule above, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger. Matthew 5:27-28, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And Matthew 5:33, again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Verse 38, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Rule 3, that one and the same thing in diverse respects is required or forbidden in several commandments. One and the same thing in diverse respects is required or forbidden in several commandments. Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Amos 8:5, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? Proverbs 1:19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Rule 4, that as where a duty is commanded, the contrary sin is forbidden, as where a sin is forbidden, the contrary duty is commanded. So where a promise is annexed, the contrary threatening is included, and where a threatening is annexed, the contrary promise is included. Isaiah 58:13, if thou shalt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So don't do this, but do that. Deuteronomy 6:13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Matthew 4:9-10, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Matthew 15:4-6, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say it to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and so forth. We've read that now in two of the previous rules. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give that to him that needeth. I'm sorry, that was, those were the proof texts for the claim that where a sin is forbidden, the contrary duty is commanded. So, stealing is forbidden, but the contrary duty to work honestly is commanded. Now, where a promise is annexed, the contrary threatening is included. So, for example, Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. On the other hand, Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. So where a promise is annexed, the contrary threatening is logically included. And where a threatening is annexed, the contrary promise is logically included. Jeremiah 18:7, at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and pull it down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Compared with Psalm 15:1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doth these things shall never be moved. Psalm 24:4-5, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Rule 5, that what God forbids is at no time to be done. What he commands is always our duty, and yet every particular duty is not to be done at all times. Okay, first, that what God forbids is at no time to be done. Job 13:7-8, will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will you accept his person? Will you contend for God? Romans 3:8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Job 36:21, take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. And Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So that which God forbids is at no time to be done. What he commands is always our duty. Deuteronomy 4:8-9, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy son's son. And although what he commands is always our duty, yet every particular duty is not to be done at all times. Matthew 12:7, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Well, there are a couple more rules, three more rules, I guess, and we'll look at them tomorrow on day 65.